Good morning. Welcome to Life Point Church. So glad you all are here with us today. Chose Life Point Church to be your place of worship. And like I say a lot, there's so many different churches in Louisville, and there's so many different churches just around the corner. And the fact that you're here worshiping with us, hanging out, man, we appreciate it. And we're so thankful that you're here. Before we get started, quick question, because I really wasn't paying attention. Hopefully you were. Does anyone in here know who set this up? Was that my wife? I want you to look right here on the front edge. That's the definition of sabotage. It's like hanging off the edge there. Let's do this. Man. It's all right. It's okay. We'll be all right. See, I'm keen to that. I pay attention. I know she's out to get me. So, no, I'm just kidding. But again, seriously, thank you all so much for being here. Today we're going to continue on with our current series, message series that we started last week called The Mask. And if you remember from last week, we talked about how, like, all of us, every single one of us really, like if we break it down, I mean, we've become pros at wearing masks, pretending to be something that we're not, right? Making this false outward show, regardless of what it is. We've learned from our society and our culture, it pushes us, and it honestly just breeds this feeling of, I can't bring my real self. Whether it be at school or at work, sometimes even in your home, around your group of friends, and unfortunately, even in the church, maybe more so in the church, that we feel like we have to wear this mask. We have to fake reality so that people don't judge us, or that people will like us, or they'll you know, whatever it may be. But we are conditioned to put on the mask in order to operate and navigate life. And what we're doing in this series is we're recognizing that, right? We're going to expose that. And then we're going to work to help to us to drop the mask, for God to reveal those things to us, for us to see the different masks that we're wearing and how toxic that really is, and remove the mask and begin to bring the real us. And as I said last week, I pray and I hope, and in my leadership, I want to lead this way, to be an example this way for Life Point Church, is that we are going to be a church where people can come and be free who they are when they walk in the door, no masks, the real them, and be loved and accepted. Because we all have our junk, we all have our issues, we all have our struggles, and we all have our blind spots. And so as the church, we have to be there for each other, and we have to welcome each other, and we have to help each other work through that with no masks. Because when we wear masks, we're not moving forward. We're just playing a game. And we're just faking. And we have to learn to drop the mask. And last week, we talked about how many of us aren't really honest with God, or with ourselves, with where we're at with God. We're not honest, so we hide, right? We hide from God, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. We put on this mask, and we hide from God, and we're not really honest with where we're at with God. And if you missed that, I'm going to encourage you to go back and check that out on our podcast. But today, we're going to be talking about something a little different. So to help me with that, let's start off by asking you the question. How many of you all know somebody that has told a lie so many times that they actually start to believe that lie? Like, how many of y'all have seen someone, know someone that's like that? Right. I have too. And what we see that with people telling lies. But that's exactly what happens when we wear a mask also. When we wear this mask, this fake image of who we are, who we want to be, or who we think other people want us to be, we wear that mask for so long that we ultimately begin to believe that lie, that is who we are, that's what we're about. This is us. And what it is it's self-deception, where you begin to believe the lie. You're self-deceived. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about and working through today. So in thinking right off the bat of self-deception, how many of you would say that self-deception is a significant problem for you? How many of you would say that? Two or three people. That's what I figured. Now, let me flip that around. Thank you for your three that are honest, and you all are very aware and wise people. So let me flip that around. Let me ask you, how many of you know other people that are self-deceived? That they may think that they're actually good at something, but in reality, they're not. Or that they don't have this problem, but in reality, they do. And they just don't see it. How many of you all know people like that? Right, there's a lot more hands that have gone up here. So that kind of creates this problem, right? The statistical problem. I have an MBA, so I like math and I like numbers and statistics and all that good stuff. But if we're looking at a group of people that say none of them have issues with self-deception, self-deceit, but yet they know tons of people that do, could it be that we don't know that we're self-deceived? Because we're self-deceived, right? It's a blind spot. We don't see it. We don't know it. Kind of a significant thought that I want to share to kind of kick this thing off is this. So try to stay focused on this. It'll be up here. It'll help. So those who don't know that they don't know. You're welcome. Say that again. Those who don't know they don't know. Because if you don't know something, you don't know something. Like I said, it's a blind spot. A perfect example of this was for me, for many, many years, I didn't realize that I have kind of this narrow, pointy nose, okay? I didn't realize that. Because when I look in a mirror, I see myself face on. So I kind of think, it's just a regular nose, like it's just a nose. But it wasn't until my freshman year of high school when me and some of my buddies were, you know, joking on each other, kind of teasing around, and someone was like, okay, Toucan Sam. And it's okay, you can laugh. It doesn't hurt my feelings. D's like, he's rolling. He's like, yup. But they're like, okay, Toucan Sam, and everyone laughed, and I laughed too. I'm like, ah, that was a good one. But then I'm deep down thinking, I'm like, that was a pretty lame joke. Like I don't get it. Like, Toucan Sam doesn't make any sense to me. And so when I got home, I went to the bathroom. We had this like decorative mirror hanging on our bathroom wall. So I kind of popped that off, kind of turned my head sideways. I'm like using the mirror, try to see. I'm like, oh, dang, Toucan Sam. Like, for real. Like, this is legit. But I didn't know. I was self-deceived. Like, I didn't know that about me because it was something I never saw. Because when I looked in a mirror, I saw something different because of my perspective. Because of the angle at which I was looking at. If you don't know, you don't know. And it's self-deception. And we do the same thing when we wear a mask. We put on this mask and we start to believe that this is who we are, or we don't have certain issues that we actually have, or we start believing things about us at our core that aren't true. And we deceive ourselves into believing that lie. And again, it's destroying us as people. It's destroying our marriages. It's destroying the people around us. And it's destroying our churches. Those who don't know that they don't know. And we've got to wake up. We've got to realize it. We have to begin to take off the mask and realize, one, that we're actually wearing one. And two, begin to remove it. So real quick, I want to share a couple thoughts about self-deceit, about self-deception. And the first one is that we need to understand that the longer we view ourselves through a distorted lens, the more likely we are to believe a distorted truth. Right? Like, think about that. The longer we view ourselves through this mask, through this distorted lens, through this lie, the more likely it is that we're going to begin to believe it. And this is exactly what David was talking about in Psalms chapter 36, verses 2 through 3, when he says this. He says, in their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. They flatter themselves too much to even know that they have an issue. They can't see that they have an issue, so how can they hate the fact that they have an issue? And then, more importantly, how can they then begin to work on that issue if they don't know they have an issue, right? They're like, you know, they flatter themselves. I'm not bad. I'm not bad at this. I don't struggle with this. It's just what everyone else does. And it's just a season. It is what it is. I'm good. I got this. No problems. They deceive themselves. They can't detect it. So therefore, they can't do anything with it. And they start to believe that lie that it's okay. It's not a big deal. They've deceived themselves. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves so much to detect or even hate their sin. And then in verse 3, the words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or to do good. Again, because they've deceived themselves. They're wearing that mask. They don't realize that they're doing wrong. And therefore, they continue down that pattern. And it's just self-deception. They don't realize it until maybe it's too late. An example of this, I always think about, if you watch much TV or reality shows, America's Got Talent, or So You Think You Can Dance, or old school American Idol was one of the first shows that we saw this. But, you know, all of those shows have like the audition part, right? In the very beginning, some people only watch the audition points, but they love that piece. You know, but in the auditions, you'll see people that are really good, right? They have great voices, or they can dance really good, or they can do all these different things, and they're awesome. But then there's also those who are absolutely terrible, right? They can't sing at all. They can't carry a tune. They're just awful. It'd be like me up there trying to sing. They can't dance. It's awkward. Their acts are just weird or whatever. And sometimes that's people go on there just to do that. But like you'll see those folks, they go on there and they sing, and then when they get all no's or whatever it may be, they are like completely surprised. They are just like, are you serious? Like, I thought I had a great voice. Like these, they don't know what they're talking about. But they're deceived. They have this mask on, and they've gotten to the point where they believe that they're actually good at this. And everyone around them knows that they're terrible, right? And so it's just kind of this same thing, right? We have to begin to see this. We've got to know that we've got this self-deceit going on, right? We begin, as longer we look through a distorted lens, we're going to start to believe that distorted truth. And although that's kind of a silly example, and we all have these maybe some fairly harmless areas of our life that we're self-deceived like that. You think you can sing, but guess what? You really can't. That's not that big of a deal. But when it comes to some serious issues in our life, how we live, you know, sin in our life or whatever it may be, or how we're treating others, man, it becomes a big issue. We don't realize and we don't see, and we're blinded to the fact that we have some real issues. We can't begin to move forward. And then we leave this wake of destruction everywhere we go because we can't see it. And when we can't, and it's destructive, and you're living out a way that's unwise. For example, maybe for you, people are coming to you and they constantly say things like, man, you really seem to struggle with pride. And you're like, what are you talking about? I don't struggle with pride. I can't help it that God created me this way. I can't help it that I'm better than all these people in this area. I don't have pride. I don't struggle with it. It's just kind of the way I am, right? They don't see it. They're blinded to it because they've been looking through that distorted lens. Or maybe they say, you know what? You tend to gossip quite a bit. You probably need to scale that back. And you're like, I don't gossip. I just, you know, people are comfortable to come and tell me their problems. I'm not gossiping. I'm just sharing that with other people so that they can pray for them, right? We spiritualize everything. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But you're making excuses for it because it's a blind spot. You don't see it. You're wearing a mask and you're looking through that distorted lens. So you're believing a distorted truth. Or maybe it's that people think that you're rude and you don't get it. You're like, I'm not rude. I'm just honest. And they're just too sensitive and they can't handle it. I mean, I just tell it like it is. Like, you're a mess. I'm going to tell you you're a mess and deal with it. But I'm not rude. It's a blind spot. The longer we view ourselves through a distorted lens, we begin to believe this distorted truth. The second thought about self-deceit that I want to share with you is that often, not always, but often, the more convinced you are that you're right, the more likely it is that you're wrong. That's one to think about. Right? The more convinced you are that you're right, don't question me. I'm on this one. I know what I'm talking about. Don't question me. You get super defensive about it, right? And you're going on and on and on about it. A lot of times, it could be a good indicator that you've got some self-deceit going on, that you've got some blind spots, that you're kind of wearing this mask, or that maybe that you're just straight up wrong. And I think in the church today, we really need to hear that. We really need to hear that. A great example of that, again, speaking of it from kind of this perspective of how American Christianity is today, is the Pharisees. When you read through the New Testament, you see this group called the Pharisees, and man, they were on it. Like, I mean, they knew the law. They lived by it. They were really, like, super knowledgeable, very upstanding humans, according to the law. And they knew and thought they were right, and they didn't hesitate for one second to tell everybody that they were right and that the others were wrong. They were great at it. And then Jesus comes along and he basically tells them, like, yo, so yes, you know the law and that's great, but the reality is you don't really understand or know the God who created the law. You know the details, but you don't know the one. And so you're wrong. And the only reason you run around here acting like you're right is because you're wearing a mask. And they didn't receive it. They went back and forth several times. You can read through the New Testament. You can see that. But it was a mask. It was self-deceit. They thought they had it all figured out. In reality, they didn't. Another example of this is Peter, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. When Jesus came to them and said, hey, look, I am going to be crucified. I'm going to have to go to the cross, and I'm going to die. And he was like, nope, not happening. Matthew chapter 26, 33 says, he's basically saying, you know, even if it happens, like, I'm with you. Like, ride or die, like, I'm by your side. It says, Peter replied, even if all the others fall away on account of you, I never will. He said, I've got your back. No matter what, we're walking through this together. Then Jesus says in verse 34, he says, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Peter's like, no, I'm right. He said, I'm right. He said, it says, but Peter in verse 35 declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. See, Jesus is telling him, like, no, you're going to deny me three times. And he's like, nope, I'm right. I'm confident in this. I'm right. There's no way. There's no way that's going to happen. He was vocal about it. I mean, reality, he's arguing back and forth with Jesus, which probably wasn't a great move, right? But he's saying this is not going to happen. And then sure enough, right, before the rooster crowed, he denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. But he was adamant that he wouldn't. He would die with him if he had to. He was confident. He was sure of it. Yet he was wrong. Often, the more convinced you are that you're right, the more likely it is that you're wrong. The more likely it is that you're wearing a mask, right? The more likely it is that you have this self-deceit in your life. You're self-deceived. And it's a struggle. It's something that we have to be aware of. But you see, this is kind of a difficult message to bring, or it's a difficult thing to hear because, again, you know, if you don't know, you don't know. So I'm trying to help people to understand that you may be self-deceived. And I think our natural reaction in hearing these things is, no, not me. Maybe my husband, he probably should hear this. Maybe my wife, she should definitely listen to this. Maybe so-and-so, I mean, I wish this person was here or that person was here because they definitely are self-deceived. But I really want you to sit back and really work through this, to really think about whether or not you are self-deceived, whether or not you have a mask on in this area, whether you have these blind spots that you're not aware of, or maybe you are aware of them, but again, you put up the mask and you push it away so long that you begin to believe that you don't have that issue. You're never dealing with it. You're never facing it. So what I want to do for the rest of our time is I want to use scripture to help expose you to the truth so that you can hear the truth, see the truth, and actually be transformed by the truth with no masks, no self-deceit, the real you. And I know that can be scary. It can be intimidating. But we've got to get down to the truth for us to truly move forward, to be changed, to improve. We have to get down to that. So I want you to really listen from your perspective and ask God, what do you want me to hear? Like for me, what do you want to say specifically to me, God? Not anybody else, but to you. And so with that, I want to share three steps from scripture that will guide you on this journey of dropping the mask, working through any type of self-deception that you may have, and beginning to truly move forward. So three steps, and the first thing from scripture is this, is that I want to encourage you to pray. Shocker, right? The pastor says to pray. That's an easy one, right? But seriously, I really want you to take the time and begin to pray through this. Ask God to reveal to you any blind spots that you might have, any area of your life that you may be self-deceived, any of those areas that you don't know that you don't know. To seek God for that. And that's what David does in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. He prayed this prayer, and it's an intimidating prayer. And he says this, he says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." How many of you got some anxious thoughts out there? I know I do. "Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He's saying, God, reveal these things to me. Help me to see those blind spots in my life. I think I'm good, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I have these issues that I've just become completely oblivious. I don't know. Like, I got this mask on. I can't see it. Help me to see those things. And so what I want to encourage you to do is for the next 7 days to pray this prayer. And mean it. Not just in a way just to check it off your box, but like seriously, like work through this with God. Do work with him. God, I don't know what I don't know, so help me to reveal these things to me. Help me to see it. Is there any of this self-deceit? Am I deceived in any way? Am I wearing a mask that I don't realize I'm wearing that's destructive to my life or to other people? God, help me to see these things. Is there any offensive way in me? Is there anything that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing? Reveal these things to me. Sincerely seek God in prayer. And do that tough work. It's not easy. Because again, as a church here in the U.S., man, we've focused way, way too much on legalism and religion, and that's gotten mixed up in truly what God is telling us and what the truth is and what we see in the life of Jesus. I know for me, I've had to pray this prayer so much. Some of it is getting rid of some of the mess in my life that I'm holding on guilt and shame of things that I don't need to. Because of the legalism and the religious, honestly, abuse that I grew up in at times in the church and the movement that I was at. Got to work through those things. But I also got to figure out what am I that I'm doing that I've said no, that's okay because I've trying to throw all these things off to the side that I've got a blind spot now. Got to work through that. You got to do the tough work and seek God and pray. Is there any offensive thing in me? Is there anything, anywhere that I'm self-deceived, that I have a mask? Like, reveal that to me. reveal that to me. Search my heart, God, and show me any offensive way and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to encourage you to pray for God to reveal those things to you. The second thing is that is super important is that we have to listen, right? We have to listen. We're going to pray, but then we're going to listen. We're going to listen to what God is going to reveal to us, but also we've got to listen to the things that the people around us, the people that God has placed in our lives are telling us. Because many times there's plenty of people telling you exactly what your blind spot is. They're telling you exactly where you're self-deceived, but they don't know what they're talking about because you're self-deceived. This is what scripture says in Proverbs 15, verse 31. It says, whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. And I want you to focus on this word, life-giving correction. That's typically from other people, right? A life-giving correction. Now, I want you to notice that it says life-giving, not just correction. It's not whoever heeds correction. See, because there's plenty of people out there today that want to give you correction. It's those rude people, right? It may be people that truly don't love you. They just want to just shout at you. You see that a lot on Facebook, right? Or that person that's out on the corner screaming at somebody and telling them whatever. That's not life-giving. This is talking about life-giving correction, where someone comes to you and they love you and they see that area of your life that you're self-deceived, that you have no clue and you don't get it. And they come to you in a loving way and say, hey, because I love you, I want to show you this. I want to tell you this. I want to see you improve in this area because it's destroying you. It's destroying your marriage. It's destroying your friendships. It's destroying your career. It's destroying your ministry and your everything that you have going on. They're going to give you life-giving correction. But also, maybe it's that God is leading you to give someone some life-giving correction. See, sometimes we balk at that because that's scary. Sometimes people aren't going to receive it. They don't want to receive it. They like their mask. It's comfortable. They don't want to work through those tough things. But we need to love people enough to give them some life-giving correction. Please don't hit them with just correction. Next time you feel like you need to approach somebody on something, think about that life-giving. We need to be building each other up, encouraging each other, helping each other walk through life. Man, life is a battle. It's tough out there. It really is. We need to hold each other up. We need to walk through this thing together. We need to do life together. And sometimes you have to do that through giving some life-giving correction. Some of you need to give it. Some of you need to humble yourself, drop the mask, and receive it. Depends on who you are and how you're wired. Some people are really, it comes really natural to give that life-giving correction. Like seriously, like life-giving for real. You're really good at that. But you're terrible at receiving it. Or vice versa. But we have to learn to be able to give and receive that life-giving correction. Scripture goes on to say in verse 32, those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Again, part of that is about the culture that we create here specifically. Are we a culture of giving people life-giving correction? Or do we just want to judge everyone and point our finger at them and tell them why they're wrong? I'm telling you, I don't want to be a part of anything where it's this. And we're here to love people. And no one person in here is better than the other. I don't care who you are, how long you've been in the church, how long you've been a believer, what your position is. I don't care. We're all on this journey together, and no one person is above the other. And so when it's time to give that life-giving correction, we're going to do that in love and with grace. just like we see Jesus doing. If Jesus ever came at somebody that was a little more intense, it was those Pharisees. It was those people that were running around there giving that correction and telling everyone how they're wrong and judging everybody as opposed to giving life-giving, loving correction. That's how we need to model ourselves. We've got to start praying, asking God to reveal these things to us. We all have blind spots. We're all self-deceived. We have masks. We have to pray and ask God to reveal those things to us. And then we have to listen. In order to drop the mask, we have to know that we have a mask. We have to listen to those people around us. And most importantly, listen to what God is revealing to us. Which leads us to our third and final thing that I want to encourage you to do, which is ultimately to change. We're going to pray, ask God to reveal it. We're going to listen as he does reveal it and as he reveals it through his people. And then ultimately, we have to change. If we pray and we listen and we do nothing with it, we're just going to sit there right in the same spot we're in, self-deceived, wearing our stupid mask and going nowhere. And being on the sidelines, not being productive, not being on mission, not loving our neighbor, not being there for anyone else. We're just going to sit there with our mask on and we're going to go through the motions. And that is not what we are called to do. And the beautiful thing is, and the thing that I get excited about is that some of you this morning are going to implement this in your life. And God's going to reveal those things pretty quickly and you're going to be able to change. You're going to be able to take those steps forward. And it's going to be a little more quickly for you maybe. And then the next thing you know, you have a more intimate relationship with God and with the people around you and you're moving forward. Now others of you, it's going to be a process. And hear me clearly, I love that too. And it's okay that this is going to be a journey. Because some of us have worn a mask for so long that it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to turn around just like that. And you've got work to do. And it's going to be prayer and listen and then some more prayer and then some more prayer. And then you're going to have to listen. And then you go change a little bit. And then you go back to prayer. And it's just going to be this constant cycle that you're going to have to work through. And that's okay. It's okay. It's good. It's a journey. And that's what we're doing. And we're going to do that together. Some of you, you've been through some things in your life that are hellacious. They're just terrible. And it's created, you've put up masks and you've gone through these things because of it's the only way you could survive. Is to put up this mask, to put up these walls, to embrace self-deceit so that you don't have to work through it. For you, it's going to be a major process. And for you, maybe you need to get some professional counseling. I encourage that. Please don't think that that's a bad thing. Something that you have to be ashamed about. Man, go seek that out. Go get some help. Maybe it's even that you need to go to rehab. Own the fact that you have this issue that you think is a blind spot, or that is a blind spot that you don't think you have, but the reality is you do. And you need to go get some serious help. Maybe you need to plug in here more at LifePoint Church and connect with some people that will give you that life-giving correction. Many of us have avoided scenarios and situations where you will receive that because you know it's going to come and you're not ready to hear it. Maybe it's time that you get plugged in and open yourself up to that life-giving correction to listen and begin to change. You know what to do. We know it. But we have to press play. We have to be willing and want to change. When that blind spot is revealed, when that mask is gone, we've got to take action. I love what James says in James chapter 1, verse 22. He gives us some truth bombs right here. I mean, this is something that we have to understand. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." There's so far too many people in the church today that know what the word says. Scholars, you know it front and back. You can recite this verse in this scenario, blah, blah, blah. But the question is, are you doing what it says? Or are you deceiving yourself? Are you coming to church every week, going through the motions, doing all these things, but you're self-deceived because you're not doing what it says. You're not loving people. You're not on mission. You're checking it off your good Christian list, patting yourself on the back, feeling good about yourself, putting on your mask and moving forward. Well, guess what? If that's you, you're deceived and you're actually not moving forward. You're stagnant, you're stale. And I don't know if you've ever been around stagnant and stale water. It's not a good thing. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Take off the mask. Bring the real you. Do what it says. It's time to change. Drop the mask and change. And again, I don't know what it may be for you. Maybe everyone around you is it something as simple. It seems simple, but it's very, very destructive. Or telling you, hey, you are addicted to your smartphone. You're addicted to your phone. I see the top of your head more than I see your face. You're in your emails. You're constantly working. Or when you're not, you're on Facebook or you're on Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever, and you're running through it, or you're playing this game and you're playing that game, and you're just disconnected. And you have 50 billion excuses as to why you're not. But it's time to drop the mask, own where you're at, and change. Maybe it's something a lot more serious than that. Maybe for you, you found that you're in a place and you're actually maybe, you know, cutting. And I know that sounds weird, but that is a real issue today. And maybe you would say, you know, that's the only way I've learned to kind of get that relief and that release from all the stress and everything I've got. And you try to make yourself, you know, think that it's okay, but it's not. It's not okay. And I don't say that in a shame way. I say that because you're worth more than that. You deserve better than that. You are precious in the eyes of God. You are his masterpiece. And so it's time to stop. Drop the mask. Bring the real you. Say, this is where I'm at. And I need help and change. Maybe it's for you, for so many years, you've been putting on the happy marriage mask, acting like everything's good. You walk into church, you put on your smiling faces and go through the motions, and on the outside, everyone thinks that you have the greatest marriage. In reality, it's terrible. You're disconnected. You're always fighting. You're always bickering behind closed doors. You have zero relationship. And if that's you, drop the mask. Get some help. Pray, listen, and change. Or maybe it's the religious mask. Again, like I said last week, well, I learned to wear that sucker like a pro. There's a lot of pros in lots of churches. Lots of pros. They know what to say. They know the right words to say in the right moments. They know the word. But are you doing what it says? Drop the mask. Truly connect with God. Don't go through the motions. Don't be self-deceived. Drop the mask and change. But why are we so afraid to drop the mask? See, that all sounds good. It sounds encouraging, rally point, whatever. But when it comes time to actually do the work and to change, we're terrified. Comfortable behind our masks. We say we want truth, but do we really? Because sometimes the truth is tough. The truth is scary. I was listening to a podcast of another pastor, and he said something, and as soon as I listened to it, I was at work, sitting at my desk, and I wrote it down on a post-it note, and it's still sitting on my desk right now. And he said, many people are not seeking truth, they're seeking comfort. And that rocked me. I started really thinking about that, thinking about it in my own life. Am I really seeking truth? Am I really seeking what God wants me to do? Or am I just comfortable? And am I good with just being comfortable? And am I just comfortable here in a little bit of truth, maybe a little bit of non-truth, but I'm cool because I can throw on my mask and keep it moving and avoid truth? We put up our mask because we're scared of truth, which is crazy. Because if we truly believe Scripture, we read in John chapter 8, verse 32, where Jesus says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? It'll set you free." How many of you here today would love to be set free from whatever it is that you're struggling through right now? Right? I'm going two hands. And we don't have to be afraid of the truth, because the truth will set you free. And yes, it may seem scary. Yes, you'll feel exposed and vulnerable when that mask comes off, but the truth will set you free. And the beautiful thing is that the truth is a person, and that person is Jesus. And he will set you free. He'll walk point for you. He'll walk through that mess with you. And he'll be right there. He promises never leave you nor forsake you. He's got your back. You're going to work through some things. And as you pray that prayer and he starts revealing things to you where you've got a mask and you're self-deceived, it's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be easy, but it's the truth. It's where you're at. Like we talked about last week, you got to own where you're at to move forward. And then we change. Because our spiritual enemy, man, he would love for us to believe these lies and believe them to the point that we start to believe it. And we believe that's who we are. That we receive the lies constantly, then we believe that's who we are. And then when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we see that mask. We're fooled. We don't know that we don't know. And we're going nowhere. Stale and stagnant. So I encourage you to pray, to listen, to change, to remove the lies, seek truth, to remove the mask and embrace Jesus. It's worth it. You're worth it. May we create environments where not just us, but everyone around us feels free to drop the mask and bring the real them. That we be bold enough to seek truth. Because in the truth is where we're truly set free. So drop the mask. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning, Lord. We're just so thankful. Thankful that you give us your word and your truth, God, that for us to live by, that can guide us, to help us through the difficulties and the challenges of this life. God, we thank you that we can come to you in prayer. We come before you and just have a conversation with you. I know I take that for granted far too often, Lord. But I thank you for that. And God, I pray that we as a church and as individuals would pray, seek your face in those blind spots where we're wearing those masks, where we're self-deceived. And in that, God, may we listen to you and to your people and begin to change. And as we do that, God, we pray for confidence and boldness and comfort and peace as we work through maybe some really, really difficult stuff. And may we not allow that to fill us with guilt and shame, but God, but that through you, we would feel your love and your grace and your mercy and we'd be set free. Burdens lifted off, God. No more masks. As we continue in a spirit of prayer this morning, maybe you're here and again, all that sounds well and good, but you realize that you don't really know God. You don't have a relationship with him. You've never entered into that connected relationship with him and giving him your life. You've never confessed and believed. And if that's you this morning again, man, I'm so glad you're here. It's not something to feel guilt and shame over, but it's something to begin to work through. It's a process at times, depending on where you're at. Maybe for you, you've been working through those things. You've been checking out the claims of Jesus, and you say, you know what? I am ready to step over that line of faith. I'm ready to give my life to Christ. And if that's you, man, that's incredible. It's going to be the most incredible, great decision you've ever made in your life. And if that's you, Scripture says in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the dead, that you will be saved. It's about confessing and believing, giving him your life. It's the most incredible decision. Again, it's kind of like that truth. At times, that's scary. It's a scary thought. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. When you connect, truly connect with God, it is so freeing. It's life transforming. You are a new creation. So if that's you this morning, man, you can just call out from where you're sitting, or you can come forward, and we'll pray with you and we'll walk you through that, or you can see one of us after the service, whatever you're comfortable with. It's all good. But you do business with God. Maybe that's you, and you're just not ready to take that step. I want to encourage you to continue to work through that. I want to encourage you to keep coming to LifePoint Church. Keep seeking out Christ, seeking out other people that are connected with God. Seek those people that you would say, you know what, that is what I think a true believer is. And really just start to pick their brain, start to be around them, connect with them. Keep coming to LifePoint. But if you're ready to step out of that line of faith, you just do business with God. Just confess and believe. However he leads you, you just speak to him. It's not something scary. You just talk to him. Believe you are who you say you are. I know that I got flaws. I know that I'm not perfect and I need a Savior. So save me. Be my Lord. I believe in you. I believe that you can change my life. You just, whatever it is, you speak to God. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower. And you realize that you are completely self-deceived in this area or that area or wherever it may be. I want to encourage you to drop the mask today. Maybe you think you might be self-deceived, but you don't know. Pray. Listen. Pay attention to what others are saying. Pay attention to what God is leading you. And then change. Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. God, again, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the fact that even when we're far from you and we try to do things on our own way and when we're self-deceived and we're wearing a mask, God, that you still love us and you want nothing more for us to drop the mask and come to you. God, may we do that today. God, I pray for those that don't know you, that you would break down whatever wall it is or roadblocks or barriers, God, and may they see how much you love them. That you are a God that wants nothing more than to be connected with them and to see them win. God, and I pray for those who are self-deceived, that we would drop our masks and bring the real us and change. Do the tough work to change so that we can reach more people, so that we can be on mission, so that we can love more people just as you love them. God, be with us during this time as we do business with you.